Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good to see you tonight as we continue to explore the Word of the Lord. This morning, we started looking at the book of 1 John, chapter 3. And we began by exploring what God says about us. And what we concluded was that we are living below what God says we are. And that has to change. And as I look at the Word of God, I recognize one thing to be true, that whatever it is we are by the grace of God. Whatever it is we become by the grace of God. It is the grace of God that fulfills in us God's eternal purpose. And it is only the grace of God, the power of God, the presence of God that can do so. Reason? It is clear in the Word of God that we died. Paul says to us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. Amen? And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God. The faith of the Son of God. The faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, my accomplishments are not a result of what I have done, but what he has done. And therefore, my faith is reliant on what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Because when we think about where God wants us to operate from, it is so far above what we are capable of in our natural self. I cannot live holy without his ability. I cannot preach the word without his ability, and I know that to be true. Because when I read the word of God without his spirit leading me, I see nothing. I see words without understanding. But when I read the word of God, led by the spirit of God, the word of God comes alive, and I begin to see things that the natural mind cannot see. It is his ability that gives me ability. In my disability in not knowing, God's ability brings the knowing. Please hear that. In my disability not knowing, God brings his ability into the knowing, so that I begin to know as he knows. And begin to understand as he understands. And begin to comprehend as he comprehends. That grace is an everlasting grace that will continue to work in me and in you and through us all for all eternity. For we shall continue to grow. You know, one of the things that Paul, when he was in prison, asked for, he wrote out and said, tell him when he comes to bring to me my garment and my manuscripts. A simple statement, but a captivating statement. Maybe someday I will share a little bit more about that. Captivating because He recognized that there is a place where you need to address the present situation. How did he forget his garment? Sometimes we forget that which keeps us warm. I was flying just the other day to a place, and as I was going, I felt cold. It was chilly. So I asked for a blanket. And they gave me a blanket. I put a blanket on me. And I was warm. And I started thinking, I have clothes. And I was cold. I put this little piece of whatever on. And I'm warm. A blanket. Blanket. Make the difference. I wonder if we are going through life without our blankets. And I wonder if we're going through life without our manuscripts because we stop studying. Word of God says, study to be a workman approved of God. It is in our study that we discover. We discover things. We begin to make application. If this is true, and this is true, then that must be true. I believe God birthed mathematics. God is a very mathematical God. God is a very scientific God. God is a God of physics, quantum, or whatever. Because he understands the universe. And day by day, we are understanding and picking up on things here and there. I think that part of the slowness that we've experienced in the world is because believers have not tapped into the mind of God. Can you imagine what's in the mind of God? Scientifically. There are mathematical equations that God has and knows that has not come into our natural mind. If we knew what God knows, what would our world be like in the natural plane of things? Greater yet, if we knew what God thinks in the realm of the Spirit, how would our lives be changed? Or did he know that caused water to become wine? What did he know when he rubbed mud in the eyes of a man that had been blind all of his life and said, go wash your face in the pool, Siloam? What did he know when he said, Lazarus, come forth? What did he know? He said, I do what I see my father doing. Wow. It must mean then that I must begin to see, I must begin to hear that there's something that he knew that caused him to do whatever it is that he did, whenever it is that he did it. Because understand, he never healed everybody. He healed those that he was assigned to heal. But I go about trying to heal everybody. I go about trying to pray for everybody. I go about trying to preach to everybody. But Jesus did exactly what the Father was doing when Father was doing it. Because he knew outside of what the Father was doing, outside of what God has assigned for him to do, there were no results. My busyness in life is based on me trying to do everything. But everything that I do may not necessarily be God. God-centered, God-focused. It may be right to do, but not right for me to do. Maybe it's left for somebody else to do. So my awareness of the reality of who God is and what God wants to do and how God wants to do what God does becomes a very unique thing. And so as we explore what the Word of God says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We must consider what that means. Well, it's not just recognizing that we are called the sons of God, but recognizing the fact that the Word of God says, therefore, because we are called the sons of God, because God has loved us, that the world knows us not. That's an irony. I thought if God knows me and God loves me, everybody will be heaping accolades at me and saying, what a wonderful man. And, oh, that's amazing. Oh, no, no. You can raise a Lazarus from the dead and people will come and say, let's kill him. So we must understand as God's people that we are not here to be men pleasers. We are here to be the presence of God. That's what my assignment is. It is not to please everybody. Because to seek to please everybody, to try to cause people to like me, is to cause myself to drive myself crazy. In this world, you will be persecuted. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Son of God, I want people to like me. And God says, No. If I like you, they're not going to like you. If I love you, they're not going to love you. Come, think about it. Think about it. Joseph has a dream. He's given the coat. And he begins to dream. And he begins to tell his brothers about his dream. And they begin to plan to kill him. You want people to love you? Mistake. There's a song that's been ringing in my spirit. I've sung it maybe once or twice before in my native language. It says, when the people of this world begin to heap praises at you, know this, you have left the way of the Lord. I learned that song when I was very, very young. It is true. We are meant to be all things to all men so that we may win some. But it's not true that we change the message so that we can win. Because ultimately, he who is not born of the incorruptible word of God is eternally lost. You can't change the message. You can't tamper with that message. The love of God is not the acceptance of sin. It's not tolerance. The love of God is loving people in spite of their situation, but expecting change. God loved us while we're yet sinners. Child of God, he did not have to die to forgive us our sins. Let's have that settled. Jesus did not have to die so that I can be forgiven my sins. I don't have to die to say to somebody, you are forgiven. I just have to make the decision. So why did he die? He died so that he can break the power of iniquity, so I can live the kind of life he lived. That's why he died. He died so I can change. And any message that does not preach change is not the word of God. That is not grace. Grace is about change. Grace is about change. Has always been and will always be. Grace gives me access to God because God speaks positively into my spirit and says, you are mine, you belong to me. Don't run away from me, come to me. I'm coming to you. That's the grace of God. The grace of God on this Father's Day is God running towards the prodigal. I heard a man of God say, the only time in all scripture that God ran, because God always walks, is he ran when he ran to the prodigal. God still runs to the prodigal to make access, give them access, say, hey son, come, stop, come on. But he doesn't run after a prodigal that is out there, that is not coming home. When the rich ruler turned away from God, turned away from the Lord didn't run after him. I said, okay, come, let's settle. Okay, 50% of what I told you. You didn't run after him. You want to go? You go. You got to know where you are and what you stand for. You got to have a standard. And we live in a time where there are no standards. The world is becoming flaky. And so has the church. No standards. And God says, listen. The world is not going to care about you. Stop it. Why? Because they didn't know me either. They don't care for me. I love them. My arms, my hands are wide open to them. I show to them that I am open to them. But if you come here, you're going to have to die so you can live. But we want people to keep on living without dying. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's what he said. And anybody carrying the cross knows what's going to happen. You're going to die. So we want a bloodless, deathless Christianity. What? On what planet? Under what covenant is that? No, change. And change is possible because of the grace of God. That's the truth. And so as I continue on this other side of what we talked about this morning, which basically may be summarized as this: you are more than what you think. I need for us, you and me, every one of us, to begin to have an elevated perspective of what God wants to do and stop dragging on the floor like chickens. Begin to see ourselves as these eagles that take flight and are soaring. We need to think different. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. God thinks more highly of me than I think of myself. I need now to begin to think of myself the way God thinks of me. Because that, ultimately, is faith. That, ultimately, is love. Yeah. Because to think of myself less than what God thinks and accept that as the truth is the bedrock of hypocrisy. What does God think about me? What does God think about you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" Know ye not that we shall judge angels? What? How much more things that pertain to this life? Don't you know that you are going to judge angels? How come you can't handle the simple things that are happening now? You're going to judge angels. That's a fact. That is a fact. In the mind of God, you are going to judge angels. Start thinking differently. Start taking care of business. Stop wimping out. You're going to judge angels. Wow. Me? Can't balance my books? Me? I won't judge angels? Yes, you. No, maybe it's Brother Byron. Maybe it's Sister Sandra. Not me. I don't think so. God, you got the wrong guy. It's always been like that. You got the wrong guy, God. My name is Moses. You got the wrong guy. No, God didn't get the wrong guy. He got the right guy. Because the guys God picks in their own sight are not ready. In the sight of the world are not ready. But in the sight of God, God sees them ready because God makes them what they're going to be. God makes me what I'm going to be. That's why he went into the Galilee. These Galileans, unlearned, ignorant people. Yeah. I like them that way because now they're not going to take credit for it. They're not going to take credit for it because they know that this couldn't have happened without me doing it. It is our arrogance, our pride that makes us think that it is based on our ability that we can do whatever. I'm resigned to this already. That Glory and Peace Church that Mike Zeno is not going to do anything that is going to be earth-shattering if God did not do it. All that God really wants for me is to be available for him to do it. And so he says in 1 John, everyone that has this hope, purify themselves. And every man that had this hope in him, purified himself, even as he is pure. In a great house, there are many vessels, vessels of gold, vessels of silver, vessels of wood and clay. Timothy, tell those young guys, if they want to be used of God, you got to clean up. What? Me? Clean up? So that I can be a vessel of honor? Because in a great house there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor? Oh. You bring out the best dishes, the best vessels, the most expensive for people that you deem are important. Oh, this person's special. I better bring out the gold vessels. These people are not that important. Give them some clay pots. And the message is this. If you think people are important and they are special, then you got to bring the best to them. And the best comes to them because you clean up yourself. God loved me and changed me. I believe he will do the same thing for them. So, I got to study to be a workman approved of God, to be a vessel that is used of God, to be a blessing to other people. You're not fasting and praying and studying just so you can have knowledge, because knowledge that you acquire without the deliberate, intentional mindset to pass it on, to be a blessing to somebody else, is a knowledge that will cause you to go to hell. It will cause you to be arrogant, and God hates pride. He hates pride. He hates it with a passion. We purify ourselves. How? That's a question. I thought it was the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all my sins. Yes. So what is this? Every man that had this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. What's that all about? It has to do with the cleansing of the word. If we're going to be these men and women of God, that are going to be life changers, not pursuing just for success, but pursuing living a life of significance. Those are two things. Because success is about you, what you acquire so that you can be. But significance is something that you become to impact the lives of others that brings change to them. If we preach another gospel outside of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, called us to preach, I don't care whether we have 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, a million, a billion people in our organization, we have failed. Because ultimately, it's about bringing change to an individual by giving them the truth that makes them free. That's it. That's it. And so we've got to, in a world that is so antagonistic to the things of God, we first of all must find ourselves. You must know who we are and be anchored to truth, because it is very fluid. It's moving all over the place, and there's no standard, and there's no boundaries. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. But where's the truth? If your truth is so different from my truth about the same thing, which one is the truth? God tells us, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. It's me. Truth is in Jesus. Truth is in the Word of God. It's not anywhere else. And so if we want to be people that are people of purpose, the only way we're going to find it is to find it in God Himself, in His love for us, and us demonstrating that love, not because we practice tolerance, but because we practice loving people. And loving people means that the message does not change. Am I going to change the Word of God and say, adultery is now okay? Because the head deacon is an adulterer, but he gives lots of money. So I change the Word to fit him, and I will not say anything about adultery, because if I say something about adultery, he's going to get offended, and there goes my millions. Am I going to change the Word of God because my son or my daughter is homosexual, and therefore I have to change it and not speak the truth anymore because, excuse me? No, what the Word of God says is what the Word of God says. And nothing changes that. I can love my son. I can love my daughter, but I don't have to accept their adulterous or stealing or alternative lifestyle way and say it's now okay. It's not. You don't change the truth to make it a livable lie. What is wrong is wrong, and what is right is right. On the basis of what? On the basis of what the Word of God says. That's the right thing. That's the wrong thing. Therefore, we have to purify ourselves and remove every contaminant that causes us not to be pure. Say, brother, the truth is the truth. I love you. What you are doing and what you're saying is wrong. Do we have the capacity to do that? Because if we're going to be the sons of God, and that is a now thing, then we must be a people of truth and a people of love. Not just truth, but mercy. Because those are two sides of a loving God, truth and mercy. I'll give you all the chances, all the opportunities, but I'll keep on telling you what the truth is. Because if we don't have it right, we create bigger problems. And let me wrap up with this set of statements. You go to the driver's license in place, take you out for a road test, and you're not stopping at the right stops. When you see the red light, you don't stop. When you see the octagon stop sign, you don't stop. You're going past it. You're driving through red lights. And the person says, hey, road limit sign says, you know, 60, you're doing 100. The guy says, you know what? I love you, I pass you. Did they really love you? And did they love the other people that are going to be on the road with you? Let's give you the license. They saw you breaking every law possible, endangering everybody's life, and they pass you and say, here's your license, go drive. No, you don't love me because you just sentenced me to death. Not only my death, but the death of other people on that highway, on that road, because now I'm not going to stop at the red light, you know, and then bang, somebody's crippled or somebody's dead. Say, so, well, I didn't want you to fail. That's why I passed you. Oh. That's not love. Love will be, you know what? I'm going to personally help you stop at the right places. Let's check your eyes first. Are you colorblind? Is that why you're going through? What color is that? And the person says the green is blue. The other color, that amber color, what color is that? I don't see a color there. Nothing. I don't see nothing. Oh, you need glasses. That's why you're not stopping. Now that's mercy. Going the extra mile to find out the reason why people are doing whatever it is they are doing. Why are you committing adultery? Why are you a drunk? What is happening in there? Let's explore. Let's find an answer to what your problem is. And then we spend time. We find out what it is. We're not judging them and, you know, you're going to hell. No, we're spending time to find out what the possible situation is and the solution is and bringing them home safely. Now we can say, pass. And the guy with new glasses on stops at the right place, moves at the right time, doesn't speed because he can read the signs. Problem solved. Now we can pass you. That's mercy that made that possible. Mercy gives time. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to give us time so that we can fit in into what he has purposed. And that way, we don't endanger everybody. But what have we done as the church? Everything is okay. No, everything is not okay. Well, it's grace. It's grace. No, that's not grace. Grace is you helping me to find out that I have serious eye problems and I need glasses. That's grace. And now I can drive safely because of what was said and what was done. Why is it that you're not able to live right? Oh, do you know God loves you? Oh, it's not possible that God can love me. No. God loves you. How can God love me? I'm such a terrible person. And I open the word of God and I show to them. See? Okay. And if they fall tomorrow, we remind them. You see? So bottom line, time well spent because we love. God bestowed that love on us. We bestow that same love on others. And the reason we do that is because we have removed every contamination, purified ourselves as he is pure. He that was so perfectly pure, without sin, came and became man so that we can experience his life. May God bless us and cause us to be everything he says we can be. In Jesus' name, amen.